from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
NFL season starts tomorrow, which means Perloff and I have to go on the record. No more messing around, Pearl. We've got to make some playoff predictions. We're going to make our Super Bowl pick later on in the show. And, you know, we don't run from a challenge around here. We pay off our bets around here. I know there's a lot of questioning about whether or not Perloff is actually driving to San Antonio. Don't worry, everyone. He's driving to San Antonio. We always pay off our bets here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. We've got many more brewing and percolating. And today we're going on the record with our playoff picks, and this is going to be it set in stone.
Wait, do you know something I don't know about the San Antonio trip?
I
was just talking to somebody about how, where's the corporate help on this trip? I'm sorry.
What do you need to hold your hand to get through Indianapolis? You can do this, dude.
I'm fine driving. The question is, I'm going to need some financial help here if any sponsors are listening. It is getting expensive, Maggie.
I know. And that's a you problem.
No,
shouldn't have called him when bust Yama, and then maybe you wouldn't have found yourself in this
predicament. When I said that, I didn't understand the level of inflation that we're going to have in 2024 in the travel
Don't
business.
Don't make this political.
I'm not making it political. I'm just saying, like, the rental car industry is getting more expensive by the day. Anyway, go ahead. What were we saying?
Well,
nobody wants to hear my woes about Avis.
If you had just agreed to have Bogus ride shotgun along with you, then
what difference would that make?
Maybe chip in for gas.
Nah,
and stuff.
I don't think so.
maybe not. I mean, listen, it's your bet. We're going to make it happen. But the point of the matter is that when we say we're going to do something, we do it around here.
We might even have to drive our own car to San Antonio and back in a 3-day span. That's how committed we are to actually doing things.
And mine's all electric, so it's going to be a really long ride. I have to stop and recharge it all the time. Anyway, we're going to make it happen. We don't mess around here. So we're going to be sprinkling our predictions throughout the show today, and we start with the NFC. This is Perloff's conference, Philadelphia Eagles. We are going to make our playoff picks. I'd love to know a little about your process, Pearl, but if you would like to get us started, you can just get on up.
I'm going to be totally honest. There was one metric that to me was the most important that I try. You want to guess what stat or what kind of stat I used?
Weather.
Close.
Travel.
I used Warren Sharp's strength of schedule.
Okay.
So Warren Sharp is a football analyst who updates his strength of schedule based on the Vegas odds. So there is a normal strength of schedule based on last year's opponents. Then he does a strength of schedule based on what the win projections are from Vegas, which are a pretty good metric. The public's actually usually pretty right on these things. So I am avoiding teams with ridiculous schedules and picking teams with good schedules. I always use that as my tiebreaker. So that was the most important thing to me. Do you want to start running them down or do you want to go over your process first?
No, I mean, my process was I took every schedule of every team in the NFL. And we're talking about the NFC right now. And I went through and did wins-loss and went through with the schedule, made sure they all matched up like a Sudoku box. make sure I had everything even. If I gave the loss here, I gave the win here, and vice versa on all the schedules. And this is, that was my process.
All right. I love it. Perfect. I'm curious, you have any one or two win teams?
Not two, but close.
Yeah. All right. Let's do NFC East. I'm going to start off.
Go ahead.
This division will be won by the same team as last year, the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
So the win total is a 9.5 for the Cowboys. There's been nothing but positive reports about their young players. Now, maybe I'm buying too much into them, but everything that went wrong last year, their run defense and their run game, the run game might not be any better, but I think the run defense will be better. They have a lot of bodies they're throwing at this. So I think they get better in that area. I think Dak Prescott being on a contract year feels like a good thing to me. That's a positive. I think CeeDee Lamb has been totally steady. Now, my issue with their offense have always been it's CeeDee Lamb or bust. I don't know how they solve that, but Brandon Cooks apparently looks okay. Jake Ferguson is great at tight end. Tried to get him last night in my fantasy football draft. Failed. And they have these young offensive linemen that I think are going to immediately deliver. Now, a rookie, a left tackle is not usually a good thing. We'll see if he plays left tackle. But the Cowboys are just idiot savants at drafting linemen, Maggie. I don't know what it is. They got this guy, Cooper Beebe, in the third round, who looks like he should have gone higher. They're amazing at that. So I think they're filling a lot of holes from last year, and they're going to win this division again.
All right. I picked your Philadelphia Eagles to win the NFC East. I have Philadelphia at a very robust 12-5 this year. And the reason why is this schedule actually shakes out, I think, rather well for you. And especially at the end of the season, where I have you winning four of your last five games, Carolina, Pittsburgh. I have you losing at Washington just because division games are weird, and then winning home Dallas and the New York Giants. I think that you have this like final push. I don't love an early bye, but that's fine. You have this final push of very winnable games. And I think that for Philly, you've got to obviously do a little flip-flop of last year. Last year, you got off to a 10-1 start, totally cratered at the end of the season. If you are peaking with this sort of runway and launch pad at the end of the season with some easy Ws, I think the Giants could be really bad. I have Dallas taking a step back this year and going 9-8, spoiler, which we can talk about a little bit later, but Philadelphia, to me, even if they make a switch at coach midseason, which I think is possible, where Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts just aren't getting along, and even if they're winning, it just the vibes aren't good or something, you know, they have not figured out their communication issues. I think you're just putting, you know, elevating one of your coordinators, and I still think that the Eagles have this sort of machine. I just don't think Sirianni is important to what you do.
The Eagles are good.
Yeah, the Eagles are good.
You think they could go 12-5 and fire their coach midseason?
We're going to do oddly specific predictions for the season later on.
Do you realize that doesn't make logical sense?
It's never been done before, but the Eagles thrive off of zagging when everyone else zigs. Again, we had an article that came out in ESPN that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts couldn't be in the same room together having a meeting because they're not can't communicate.
Right.
If any shades of that are happening early in the season, even if they're winning, I think Sirianni actually gets shuttled out.
Okay. By the way, you said they have a launching pad at the end of the season. Remember last year, they were still fighting tooth and nail for playoff seeding. They lost to Seattle, barely beat the Giants, lost to Arizona, and then got killed by the Giants. Like, you don't get any easier games than that, and they blew their entire... They proved last year they could lose to anybody.
Yeah, I also have
I don't know. Why is it not going to suck again this year? Like, what's different? I mean, their defense could still be terrible. They were the worst defense in the league by the end of last year.
Yeah, but they changed out their coordinator, and they got upgrades. I also have you starting 6-0, by the way. Okay,
let's... Starting 6-0 and still firing Nick Sirianni midseason?
It's possible.
It's not possible.
Let's move on. So, NFC East, you have Dallas, I have Philly. Go on to the NFC North.
The NFC North is the most awesome division of all time. I love everything about this.
Me too.
I'm picking the Detroit Lions to win the regular season NFC North Championship. I mean, honestly, if I got tattoos, I would get a Jahmyr Gibbs tattoo. That guy is so awesome. Hopefully he's healthy. And they just have so many weapons they can hit you with. Obviously, Sam LaPorta is, I think, the number one tight end in the league. They have all these receivers. Amon-Ra is a first down machine. We'll see some Jameson Williams this year. Count me fully in, Detroit.
I have the Green Bay Packers winning the NFC North and going a very robust 13-4. I am very, very high on Green Bay, putting a lot of stock into what they're doing, even though I see a lot of wins here right at the early part of the schedule. Spoiler, I have them losing to your Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil, but then ripping off wins against Indy and Tennessee and Minnesota and Arizona. I have them winning a showdown against Houston in Lambeau. I see this as like the natural progression of things with Jordan Love. What more do you have to see from the Green Bay Packers? They know how to do this, guys, with the quarterbacks, clearly. Might have been critical draft night. Aaron Rodgers didn't like it when they took Jordan Love in 2020. But, dude, this formula works. And not a lot of teams can pull this off because you have owners that get impatient and you have lots of bad teams out there. The Packers are not one of them. They're disciplined about this kind of thing, and Jordan Love is the key. And then they have a new defensive coordinator, which is a little interesting because they brought over Mark Hafley from Boston College, who was in the news beating Florida State the other day. Their defense has got to find this mojo. There's too much talent on this side of the ball for them to underachieve. And I think Green Bay, I think they do take a step forward, putting a lot of eggs into a college coach's basket there, I realize. But I have Green Bay 13-4.
So, wait, I'm sorry, who do you have in that week one game in Brazil?
I have your Eagles winning.
Okay, so that
they
means
they start off with a loss, but then they win the next three.
Yeah, I feel I view one thing a little differently. Like the Packers' schedule is brutal. You know, there's a lot of, I don't know how this happened, but they just have a lot of good teams on here. Like
some of them they get at home. So they get Houston at home, they get San Francisco at home, they get Miami at home, and that's a Thanksgiving game, I believe.
Yeah, okay, I like it. NFC South, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time talking about this division because whoever wins is going to be 9-8. Just feels like, hand it to the Falcons. Let's just do this thing. Let's get it over with. Give Atlanta the NFC South.
You know, it's funny. I really tried here to go with the Tampa Bay Bucks. I really wanted the Bucks to win this division. But as I'm laying out my whole schedules and doing wins and losses, not only do I have Atlanta winning the NFC South, I have Atlanta getting to 11 games. 11 wins, guys. There are lots of W's on this schedule. And again, we talked about it with the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll say this also for Atlanta. I think Michael Penix might be under center for these games. But you end your season at Minnesota, I think is not going to be good. At the Raiders, I don't think is going to be good. The New York Giants, who are not going to be good. At Washington, and then Carolina. You could end your season with five straight wins. And to me, even with Penix under center, potentially for those, I think that's how you get to 11-6 with the Atlanta Falcons. Again, I tried with Tampa, but their schedule is just harder because it's a first-place schedule.
Yeah, we don't know a thing about what the Saints are going to do. They could be either really terrible or be for 8-9 one more time and somehow in week 17 play a showdown game. Okay, NFC West.
Yep, this was tough.
This is a good division.
Yeah, very good.
But, I mean, come on. How can you bet against the 49ers? Everybody is there. Despite the drama, everyone's there. If they're healthy, they're clearly a cut above those other two teams to me. So I'm sticking with San Francisco. I understand there's a couple renegade threats there. I just think, you know what? At the end of the day, there's a lot of noise. But right now, all that noise has sort of settled itself. Trent Williams is there. Deebo Samuel's there. George Kittle's there. Brandon Ayuk's there. I also think that they'll step up on defense last year. I really did not like their defense last year. They looked completely non-aggressive. They went from ferocious to hanging on for dear life. I don't know how it happened. Felt like Nick Bosa was the only one who put out any effort last year. I thought Fred Warner even looked bad last year. Couldn't cover anybody. I think that is all fixed this year, and they're kind of more of a two-headed monster where their defense wins some games too.
So I actually have the Rams winning the NFC West. I have the Rams and San Francisco both finishing with twin 12-5 records, and I have the Rams with a better divisional record and winning like a tie break over them. So I have the Rams winning at 12-5. Here's why. I think there's a middle stretch of the Rams' schedule that is very favorable, and that's at Chicago, then Green Bay, then a bye, then Vegas, Minnesota, at Seattle, I have a loss, then Miami, at New England, Philadelphia, I have a W, at New Orleans, and I have them beating Buffalo as well. So I have this middle stretch with a healthy Matthew Stafford, hopefully, where they really start to put a little distance as opposed to San Francisco, who challenging schedule. So I'm 12 and 5. So I actually have, and let's just play this out now. If we had done our division leaders.
Sorry, you had San Francisco 12 wins as well. You said it was a tie.
Yep. And I have San Francisco as the wild card, the first wild card. So my other two wild cards, I have Detroit as my other wild card with Green Bay winning the division. I have Detroit at 12 and 5, and I have Seattle as my final wild card at 10 and 7.
But I don't understand. You did game by game. You have the Eagles at 12 wins. You have the Packers at 13 wins.
Yep.
You have San Francisco and L.A. both with 12 wins and Atlanta with 11 wins.
Yes.
There are going to be some bottom feeders in this conference then, in your opinion.
In my opinion, I think that the Carolina Panthers are going to be awful bad. I think that the Giants are going to be very bad.
Uh-huh.
I think the Saints are going to be bad. That's my zag is, I think, also the Saints are going to be very bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got some... Yeah, I've got some bottom feeders in the NFC.
Okay, my wild cards are the Eagles, the Packers, and the Los Angeles Rams. So I think we're pretty much aligned. You know who I had so much trouble leaving out because I love everything about them? The Seahawks.
So I put them in.
I had to do
the wins, losses, and I got them to 10-7. I'm a little nervous because a new head coach and all that, but I think their defense is going to be a lot better.
Doesn't feel like they've been flirting around 8, 9, 10 wins for like 3 or 4 years. Honestly, like what were they, 9-8 last year? Feels like nothing changes there except it is a new coach. They have so many weapons. Like Geno could have a huge season. I think DK Metcalf is going to be awesome this year. And they have JSN. They could be really good, but they've been this team for a few years now. Like what is it? Is McDonald going to take them over the top? I'm not sure.
Well, their defense was really bad last year under Pete Carroll, and that's shocking. But maybe he lost a little bit. Why I like Seattle to get to that 10-7 and get the wild card is some of these at home. Like you're Denver at home, you get Miami at home, you get the New York Giants, you get Buffalo at home, you get Green Bay at home, Minnesota at home. It's just there are W's here for Seattle and. That's how I got them to 10-7. I have Dallas going 9-8 and missing the playoffs this year.
Hmm.
Just a FYI.
So that means Dave convinced you got to get 10 to get to the wild card in this model.
I have Chicago going 8-9, missing the playoffs. I have Tampa going 8-9.
Oh, that's another team I liked too, Chicago.
I tried to get there, but I couldn't.
I mean, their schedule is easy. That is one where that schedule jumps out to you as maybe the second easiest behind the Falcons, because the Falcons have that NFC South. Yeah, I just watched the last Hard Knocks last night. That was killing me. Just like Ryan Poles started crying when he had to cut a guy, I started crying when I couldn't put the
Hard
Bears.
Knocks is over?
No, because I couldn't put the Bears in my playoff picture. It came down to me. I liked the Rams, Seahawks, and Bears for that last spot. I honestly think one of the reasons I have the Eagles in there is I kind of agree that the Giants and maybe the Commanders will feed some wins. The Cowboys always beat the Giants. That's I don't see that trend reversing. So I think you get a little head start right there if you're Dallas. I still have them winning 10, 11, 12 games. Their over-under now is 9.5. We talked about that. Feels like a safe over to me. I mean, you have them in, even at 9, you have them sort of struggling and being a 9. That's close. You get those wins over those divisional games. I see like the Seahawks and the Rams, like, man, that's going to be tough. I think Arizona's going to be a little feisty this year. I think that division is way tougher.
I have Washington being a little feisty at 7-10.
Yeah,
so that's
I see that.
I couldn't just hand these division wins now to the Dallas Cowboys. I have them splitting with the Eagles. I have them winning the Giants, and I have them splitting with Washington.
Yeah.
Winning both against the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, the Giants are going to beat the Cowboys, right? But I still feel like if I'm looking at division by division, the NFC West is just kind of talented. So, and the NFC North is going to beat up on itself a little bit, too. That's why I have trouble getting to those gaudy win numbers for Green Bay. I just think that if you look at the landscape of the NFL and the NFC, like, feels like certain divisions have all the good teams, and that's going to...
Yep.
And I hate to say, I really think that NFC North is loaded.
I do, too. That's why I have both Detroit and Green Bay. Couldn't get there with Chicago. I think Minnesota's not going to be good. And
I don't think Minnesota's going to be terrible.
Darnold is not,
but they're gonna,
not a good quarterback.
They're going to get out there with some Brian Flores blitzes, and they're going to lob some balls to Justin Jefferson. And I just don't think they're going to be like a three-win team. I think that they're going to upset a bunch of people. Just if that's your bad team, look how much talent there for a bad team. You're right about Sam Darnold. That's the only concern.
The other quarterbacks are going to, and offenses, I mean, are just going to blow them away. I know you have Justin Jefferson, but How great is one? If you have a really great wide receiver, we see this with Devontae Adams in Las Vegas. You can have a great wide receiver. If they don't have a good quarterback or a dynamic offense, I don't know how they're getting their numbers.
I just think you have a really good play calling staff on offense, and I think you are going to have a feisty defense. And guys like Caleb Williams, like, he's going to see things he's never seen against that team. I just feel like they're like one of those upset teams.
There you go, 855-212-4227. You can weigh in on the NFC. That's our playoff picture right there. We'll tweet it out. Again, just recapping the teams we think are going to make it. I think it's Philadelphia, Green Bay, Atlanta, and the Rams as your division winners, with San Francisco, Detroit, and Seattle as your wild card teams. I have the Dallas Cowboys missing the playoffs this year. Perloff?
I go NFC East Cowboys, North Lions, South Falcons, West 49ers, wild card Eagles, Packers, and Rams.
From the mind of a 2-foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We just shared our NFC playoff picks. We'll have our AFC soon. Real quick, I tell you a story from my fantasy football draft last night, Maggie.
Yeah, how'd it go?
Bad. It went really, 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 really bad.
What was your, grade?
I give myself a C-. So we did an auction draft where you bid money on players.
Sure.
And we set values on every player in the top, say, 200.
You're saying we because you did this partner. With someone else, right?
Yes. My partner, John Hershey, longtime partner. Shout out, Hersh.
So, should I be jealous of this guy? Like, you guys have your own thing.
No. You know. He's a childhood friend. Like, you're not breaking in on that one. Like, that's like a kid friend thing. Like,
okay.
No, we lose every year, so it doesn't matter.
Definitely not jealous.
We have multiple things going. Like, we have many bites of the apple, different leagues, different. You're not allowed to call them suicide pools anymore.
Yeah,
but
survivor.
Survivor pools. Yeah. This is our big money league. We put everything into this. We have a value set on every player, and we're like, we are going to stick to the plan this year. We're not going to blow our entire budget by the third pick.
Yeah.
Somebody nominates Isaiah Pacheco. We have him valued at 42.
Yeah.
It's a 38 And we're like, well, we can't let Isaiah Pacheco, he got red hot at the end of last year, we can't let him go under budget. Let's put it in a bid. Proceed to get in a bidding war, overpay for Isaiah Pacheco, blow our entire budget by the eighth pick of the whole thing. End up, we couldn't get anybody we wanted because we had no money.
oh, my God.
We had basically...
So your whole season is basically Isaiah Pacheco or bust?
We have the most top-heavy roster. We basically have four players, and then we have everybody else costs a dollar. So, like, backup... we're starting, like, the Titans' backup tight end is our starting tight end. Our quarterback, we were actually, there was a moment where we said, do we have to start Daniel Jones?
Oh,
That's how bad. No, Maggie, this was cap mismanagement on the Perloff side.
You guys have been doing this now for how many years? You've been partners and you lose every year and still doing it?
Well, we've won a couple of times, but we are quite impulsive. Like, I fall in
love.
Maybe
this is not a good
match. I just fall in love with players. I can't help it. Once you know, if you see Isaiah Pacheco floating out there for $38, you've got to jump on that. I mean,
but Andy Reid at the goal, I know yards.
Dude, he's been a touchdown machine the last half of the season. He quietly just got a lot of red zone carries. He's going to be great, but
I know,
he's not
like
enough.
Andy Reid really kind of spreads the wealth in the red zone, no?
Let's see. In his last seven games, he had 9 touchdowns. So he hasn't been spreading a lot. He had a touchdown in every playoff game. I did this whole thing last night because I was trying to wrestle him. Every game except the Super Bowl, he had 1 touchdown at least. He's a big deal. He's a really good player. The problem is, Maggie, the running backs are really unreliable.
Yeah.
So everyone ended up paying up for it because of the nature of the position anymore. Like, you know who went for a lot of money? James Cook, the Bills guy, because at least he's going to start. You don't even know out there.
I know.
It's a wild seed. Like, who's the Cowboys starting running back? I don't even know.
I think it's Rico Dowdle.
Probably Dowdle, but people think it might be Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, listen, nobody wants to hear about your fantasy team, but if you want to, send me a message and I'll tell you the woe is me stories of how we ended up with Will Levis.
Honestly, I'm not surprised that you would be kind of impulsive about this.
Oh,
just like soon as there's something within reach, Perloff wants it.
I fall in love. Yeah, I mean, I didn't pick any Eagles. I did that. I was very disciplined about that.
But you have there's a lot of good skill position players on the Eagles. Like that could have been, it could have been smart to go with an Eagle.
No. If you love a team, like you love the Buffalo Bills, do not bet on them and do not do any fantasy activity with them. Just stay out. Isn't that the best policy?
I generally don't bet on the Bills. Because I don't want to add insult to my injury.
You want to use your head, not your heart.
And I'll end up betting against them, and I don't want to do that.
You don't want to emotionally hedge?
There's also 31 other teams I can bet on. So.
Right. Do you trust your instincts on the Bills? So don't you feel like your emotion will cloud your logic? That's how I feel.
Yeah, I'm harder on my own team than other teams.
Yeah. I did pay $37 for Drake London. Going to regret that move.
Wow. What is going on with that trap?
$7
for Drake
Kirk London. Cousins throws a catchable ball. Someone's got to catch those. He's going to have 4,500 yards, and we think Drake London is going to be the main recipient.
All right.
There you go.
Keep us updated, Pearl.
Yeah. I'll keep you year to year.
I remember at one point, I think you were down to like KJ Osborne and like a bunch of...
KJ Osborne once was auto-picked because my internet went out by Yahoo. So I always think of auto-pick KJ Osborne. By the way, we saw him in preseason somewhere. He was actually getting a lot of action. I'm totally blanking where he is. But that's the level of player I have on my team right now. My partner's like, who is this guy? I'm like, I don't know, but we only have a dollar left. We are buying him.
They actually pay you to take Daniel.
Yeah, KJ Osborne's in New England. He could be like the number one receiver.
That's possible. Bogus, you do your fantasy draft yet?
Last night, actually.
Yeah.
Did you also fall in love with Isaiah Pacheco?
I wanted to pick Isaiah Pacheco, but it was not possible.
Yeah,
that was a straight draft, no auction.
Yeah, do you do the same thing where you make a pick and be like, I can't believe I just did that?
I had no immediate regret like that last night, but I was in what I think is everybody feels like there were like 4 or 5 picks in a row where the guy I wanted went like 2 picks ahead of me. And you think you're being smart, like just get back to me. And I had the second pick in a snake draft, so I had those huge gaps between selections.
Oh, so you got to see your guys coming off the board.
It's killer.
You're like, I'll never draft this guy, and then someone else drafts him. You're like, I just wanted that guy.
I do that too.
Like, I'm not going with DK Metcalf this year. It's like, oh no, I would kill for DK Metcalf.
Is there a word for that? Is it fantasy buyer's remorse or fantasy remorse? Because I'm the king of that.
Yeah, but it's not a good feeling.
That feeling when you have like a tight end circled, and you're like, oh, I can't believe it's the 11th round I'm getting this guy, and then Bill picks him, there's nothing worse.
Yeah, my league is very, it's my college friends, and the level of commitment is very significantly between guys. So I thought at one point that I was going to be the only one who knew that Trey McBride existed, the Cardinals tight end.
Oh, yeah, no,
and I'm sitting there waiting, and like three picks before somebody took him.
Oh, I know.
Kaplan is with you, Perloff, in the chat, youtube.com/infinitysports. I said, I'm with Perloff. I hate every pick I make.
Yeah.
It's just immediate fantasy regret.
And then you realize everybody in the draft listened to the same podcast about sleepers. the Ringer Sleepers podcast. I guess we all listened to it because every player in there was bid up to 100%.
That's Rico Dowdle's very popular in all of those sleepers and late round steals. And
yeah.
How popular was Tony Pollard last year?
Yeah.
Khalil Shakir, by the way, the Buffalo Bills receiver, is ESPN and Ringer's top sleeper. And I'm like, dude, if he's both your top sleeper, he's no longer a sleeper.
Yeah.
On this upstart offense called the Bills.
Yeah. It's like, I got this little sleeper. He's out of Wyoming. His name's Josh Allen.
He's top five offense since 2018. Bogish has headlines for us. What's up?
I got headlines sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season is here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP and get $50 credit instantly.
Very important.
You can use MANDP because at the end of the day, it's the same one.
When you play $5, must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
By the way, had a tough night last night in Prize Picks. AJ Wilson, you're awesome. Never betting against you again. Caitlin Clark, 21 points. Going over tonight.
Okay.
Let's go. I'm going to be back.
Bound Indiana Fever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's annoying to me that we predicted that after the Olympics she was going to be awesome, and she's done exactly that. Like, she's a machine.
6-1 since the Olympics.
And her numbers are insane. So I am riding the Caitlin Clark train tonight.
The best part, though, this is why the Prize Picks is really good for you, Perloff, is because when you eventually get to where you're doing 4 and 5, six, you know, combined, you don't have to get them all perfect to win money.
Yes,
all right. 4 out of 6, you get a little money back if your player gets injured. A lot of safety nets for you.
So fun.
And real quick on Caitlin Clark. She and the Fever officially playoff bound thanks to the Chicago Sky losing in Vegas last night, 90-71. Indiana's last postseason appearance was 2016, the 7-year drought tied for the longest in league history. The 17-year-old who allegedly shot Niners rookie receiver Ricky Pearsall during an attempted robbery over the weekend in San Francisco formally charged yesterday with attempted murder, assault with a semi-automatic firearm, attempted robbery, and other charges. Those charges filed in juvenile court, but prosecutors could ask a judge to transfer it to adult court as their investigation continues.
Yeah, I saw a picture today of the event and where Ricky Pearsall actually walked off after he was shot, where he was holding the wound. It is in the center of his chest. Yeah. Like, the level of miracle here is, I mean, you brought it up earlier in the show. It just sort of makes you think about life a little bit. It's just crazy that he was able to walk away from that and be back in a month because he was shot, right in the middle of the chest.
And you said you saw that someone, a first responder, ran over right away?
A policewoman came and put pressure on it immediately. They were there really fast. Now, I don't know how important that was to save his life, but it seems like everybody acted really well. The San Francisco police were on top of it.
But just wild that this is in the middle of the day. It's the broad daylight part of it.
Yeah.
This is scary no matter when it would happen, obviously, and thank God he's going to be okay. But the 3:30 in the afternoon in a very public place, and, you know, listen, we live in a big city, too, and we realize that things happen and it can be dicey, but you never think 3:30 in the afternoon on a Saturday, all of a sudden someone's going to rob you at gunpoint and you're going to end up in this type of struggle?
Yeah, here's the detail, Sergeant Joelle Harrell. Pressed her hand on his chest to create pressure, then put her baseball cap on the exit wound in the back because both were bleeding significantly. So she had the sort of wherewithal to help this wound from getting much worse.
Oh,
and she said that he started to get very anxious, and she calmed him down by talking to him. I mean, I just get chills thinking about what actually happened there. Great work by everybody. I mean, when he plays football in a month, what's that going to look like?
Well, remember Brian Robinson. This happened with him, the running back for the Washington Commanders, and he was shot in a carjacking, I believe, and he got shot in the leg.
Yeah.
And he came back.
Very quickly. Yeah.
I also don't know if Pearsall is going to be back in a month. He has to miss
practice.
A month.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't think they've said yet any kind of timeline from coming back, but what they put him on, that non-football injury list, requires you missing the first four games.
They said he's going to play this year. Like,
yeah,
they anticipate he plays. I don't know if I'd even put that much pressure. There's got to be a psychological aspect of this, too. Like, you know, maybe being an athlete, you want to get back on the field. You want to have that distraction. But don't you have to leave a little room for the fact that this dude just went through a trauma?
Yeah.
Unlike anything. He survived a shooting. I mean, to say, all right, we're going to get you back on the field this year. Maybe he should make that decision, not John Lynch.
I mean, we don't do politics, but you have to think of the assassination attempt on Trump, too. Like,
I know, and he goes on about his day.
He goes on. Pearsall, by the way, was in the weight room yesterday, lifting weights.
So, I mean, and you just stay in sports. Clyde Edwards-Helaire talked this summer about PTSD from what we believe is a somewhat of a similar incident that he, like, has wrecked him at times physically, and now he's on the same list where he's out for the first four games for the Chiefs, and we think it's because of that. So, and that's to Maggie's point about like how hard it is sometimes mentally to get past things.
Wait, we're also forgetting, didn't someone else got a stray bullet this summer? Who
Tank
was
Dell.
It?
Tank Dell.
Tank Dell. Yes. Right. Thank you, EJ. It's like there's another conversation to be had here, but
Brian Robinson seems much stronger mentally after what happened to him. Like, he came back and he's not only a good player, but he's like the emotional leader of that team. So I'm not sure. You're right. I just think these professional athletes do crazy mental things anyway. Just to go out there and get hit by a linebacker takes a certain. I mean, the guy was in the weight room, Bogus.
Yeah. Sticking with the NFL, the Patriots, their head coach, Rod Mayo, began last week by saying Drake May had outplayed Jacoby Brissett during the preseason. Last week ended then with Mayo picking the veteran, not the rookie, as his starting QB. So yesterday he tried to explain the discrepancy.
You know, I should have given more context to the comment at the time. Look, Drake had more playing time in the preseason than Jacoby, and that was intentional. So as we talk about the developmental plan, like, we know what it is internally, but that was definitely intentional. We know what Jacoby can do. He's played a lot of ball in this league. We see him every day in practice, and we know what he's done in the NFL as well. So, look, we have full confidence. I have full confidence in Jacoby leading our team.
Going back to yesterday, what does Ninko think of Jacoby Brissett?
Hopefully he thinks more highly of Brissett than Mac Jones.
And for the first time since 2006, an American man will be in the U.S. Open final. That's because Taylor Fritz and Francis Tiafoe won their quarterfinals yesterday, both in four sets. Tiafoe technically moving on because Grigor Dimitrov retired two games shy of a four-set loss. So they'll be in a semifinal against each other on Friday. Fritz has won six of their seven previous meetings. An American man hasn't won the event since Andy Roddick back in 2003. Tonight's schedule at Arthur Ashe Stadium has Jessica Pegula taking on Topsy Iga Świątek. Then men's number one, Jannik Sinner, meets Daniil Medvedev in the last quarterfinal.
Crazy match last night with Tiafoe. Yeah. Like, the momentum, he came out, was playing amazing, and then the momentum really started to shift. Like, Dimitrov found a little bit of juice, and the McEnroes were just killing Dimitrov on the broadcast. Like, what's he doing? He's got heavy legs. He doesn't seem interested. He's looking at his box. He's looking for answers. And then he started to get a little momentum and then had to pull out of the match. But Tiafoe and Taylor Fritz, the two Americans playing each other, first started playing each other when they were 14 years old. And Tiafoe said, this is the biggest match of both of our lives. This is it, Friday. The two of them, this is the biggest match they have played to this point for either.
You know, one thing McEnroe said that I don't know. He said once you're down two sets, like, the amount of energy it takes to win those last three sets is almost undoable. So I don't understand. Like, Tiafoe is ranked lower than this guy, who's clearly the better player from the moment the match started. It's so weird. And why is Medvedev always there?
Well, because he's really good.
He's always there. He never doesn't lose in the semis or the finals.
So here's the funny thing about the mental aspect of getting down two sets. I think there's two ways to look at that. First of all, every tennis player at that level has been in every situation. So you've come back from two sets. You've come back from probably two sets and being down 0-4 in the third set. Like, you've just been in every situation. humanly possible. There's also something freeing about you're down 0-2. It's like, all right, I'm just playing free now. Like, I am probably going to lose this match. I might as well go balls to the wall or whatever because I've got nothing to lose. And there's a freeing aspect of it. And then your opponent can get a little tight because once you're up 2-0, well, now you've got to close it out. So there's this weird mental gymnastics that goes on.
Interesting.
Us high-level tennis players know about this
game. Yeah, McEnroe doesn't seem to agree with you, by the way. He says,
I mean, what does he know?
He was watching the Alcaraz match, too.
He's
like, once he got down 2-0, he's like, Alcaraz does not have the energy to come back here. I'm not sure. This is going to be cool, though. I think America's going to get back in. We've been lacking an American male for a long time. Yeah. And I think Pegula would be a big deal, too.
This would be massive.
I mean, Coco Gauff would have been better, but this is still pretty good for America.
Coco won last year. So okay.
We spread it out a little bit. I like that.
Everyone gets a taste.
And we got Emma Navarro in the semis tomorrow. Didn't mean to rhyme.
There you
sure
go.
About that.
She's probably going to get blown off the court, but.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know.
Well, why okay. do you think?
Sabalenka's.
Yeah, she's so good.
She's that good.
Offering to buy drinks for the crowd. Smart move.
Yeah.
I'd root for her.
Pegula playing to the Bills fans. Sabalenka's giving out drinks. They're using the mic well after matches.
Honestly, Jessica Pegula is my spirit animal. I love her. She said, people ask if I'm from New York. She goes, no, I'm from Buffalo.
Hmm.
Print the shirt.
Oh, my gosh.
So the only way to honor that is for her to light herself on fire and go through a table before well, no, before yeah, she plays Iga.
After chugging 6 Molson and triple X's.
I would think it'd be to get to the final and lose, right? Isn't that the most Buffalo thing?
There you go.
Easy.
There you go.
Sorry.
That's what we needed.
Is it true that Emma Navarro's parents are also really super rich?
Super rich. Her dad is a billionaire tech guy.
Okay. So obviously Jessica Pegula's parents own the Bills and they're very, very rich. And so there just happens to be 2 chicks who have billionaire parents playing tennis. What are the odds? Of all the sports.
Yeah.
To have rich parents.
What a surprise. Shocker.
But that's even a little crazy. That's very rich.
But you got to give those as, you know, because I
give them more credit.
You got to give them some credit. I mean, they definitely got a gigantic head start in terms of the opportunities that were available to them. But then to take that and then run with it rather than being a spoiled rich brat and never fulfilling your potential, that would be super disappointing.
No, I'm more impressed with the super rich kids who do this because no amount of money and no one else can get your behind out of bed at 5 a.m. to go hit balls day after day after day. That has to be you. That's the stuff when nobody's looking. No amount of money or training, like you, that's got to come from within.
Yeah, I don't know if I give them more credit. I mean, I definitely give them a lot of
some
credit.
Some credit.
Yeah. Because again,
partial credit.
The coaching, the physiotherapy.
But the coach isn't helping you when you're at triple break point.
Yeah, but the training and the opportunities that are available to them that aren't available to somebody who grows up in poverty. It's
well, that's true.
Not even close.
But again, like that's you're living at a tennis academy. Everyone's awesome.
Like that.
Something has to, you have to separate yourself somehow. It's mental.
True. That's why. Go ahead, Pearl.
I think a sport like soccer, where the entire world has access to sport, like to be the best at that, is a bigger achievement. Where tennis, there's a small world of people. You have to have a lot of money to get into it.
Generally.
So I So I'm kind of with Pat on this one. Sorry.
That's why I love Tiafoe's story because his dad was basically
the janitor.
Yeah,
the maintenance man. Yeah,
his dad is awesome.
And
by
he was
the way.
Sleeping at the tennis, academies or the tennis facilities in D.C. And that's how Tiafoe started getting lessons because of that.
Unreal story. Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff, we've been talking a lot of NFL because the season kicks off tomorrow. Perloff, let's pause on college football for a moment because major games this weekend, a couple of them stand out. Obviously, Nebraska-Colorado is going to be fun. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Texas and Michigan, to me, is a fascinating game this weekend, specifically because I know Michigan didn't look great in their opener against Fresno State. They end up winning by 20 points. They dropped a spot in the latest AP poll. But the defense for Michigan still looks very good, right? On offense, there's some questions. I think it was a maybe surprise to certain people that Alex Orji did not actually win that quarterback battle, and it's Davis Warren. Now, they still have Orji coming in with different kind of packages, and he threw a touchdown pass. He's kind of coming in a little bit as a runner, but maybe they're figuring out a little of this quarterback thing on the fly for Michigan. The defense, though, still looks really good. They look good, and I think they are a good defense. To be a touchdown underdog at home to Texas, I feel like they are begging you to take the points in this game, right?
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like everyone's down on Michigan. They just lost like half their team to the NFL.
Well, they lost 13 players. Texas lost 11. I mean, this is what happens when you're a good team.
But Texas didn't lose its quarterback, and they didn't lose Blake Corum, and they didn't lose that O-line. I just think that it feels like Michigan, to me, is kind of an afterthought this year because we're seeing all those guys in the NFL now. The one thing about Texas, I think Quinn Ewers has a Derek Carr vibe in the sense that we call Derek Carr the Bermuda Triangle of quarterback evaluation. I think it's really hard to pin down how good Quinn Ewers is at Texas. Like because I've heard scouts say, oh, man, he throws lollipops. And meanwhile, I remember when he came up, he's like, oh, he's the strongest arm recruit in 10 years. I just don't have a strong sense. Is Quinn Ewers like a good Heisman guy? Like, how is he going to respond to this game, a tough defense? Like, he's going up against, obviously, Will Johnson and the that secondary. I do not have a strong sense of how good he is. You think you do? It's funny. You're looking at me like I'm crazy here. Like, Quinn Ewers, I think, is the hardest quarterback to evaluate.
No, we've talked about this for now years. I thought Arch Manning was already going to have this job. And I think if Texas had actually made it to the championship game last year, I think that Quinn Ewers has probably gone to the NFL, and this is an Arch Manning vehicle and not a Quinn Ewers thing. But no, I'm with you on how good is he really.
I think he's really good.
But I'm curious about the game plan here because, you know, are you going to need Quinn Ewers to throw the ball 40 times here? Like, is Texas actually going to be able to run the ball? We know they had injuries in their backfield. And against a Michigan front, are you actually going to be able to run the ball at all? Is this whole game going to be on the arm of Quinn Ewers?
Yeah, I mean, that really wouldn't be necessarily Shark style in a game like this. I don't see Quinn Ewers throwing it 50 times. And Michigan's really good at slowing the game down, right?
That's, of course.
And I assume Arba said, no, you know, you're convincing me into the points here.
Well,
I think I'm going
to
take Michigan.
Them, aren't they?
They are, which makes you think, watch out for Texas.
We definitely watched Texas go into Tuscaloosa last year and win. They can go into very difficult places and play well.
The funny thing, too, is Florida State weighs on your mind with Michigan, too. with Texas, rather. Florida State just taking a dive after coming up short last year and then losing all their players to the pros. To me, like, when you get gutted by a draft, unless you're Georgia, you are not going to be good next year. And the truth is, they just got gutted. I mean,
Isaiah Bond. I mean, they're doing okay.
No, sorry, I meant Michigan.
Like, oh, Michigan.
Michigan just got totally gutted. So that's why I think the spread is going up. I think people are saying, like, oh, yeah, you know what? They really are going to miss J.J. McCarthy. They really are going to miss Blake Corum. They really are going to miss those studs on the offensive line. I just think that I think it's a lot to overcome. And the other thing, too, let me ask you, from an emotional standpoint, is Michigan, like, all in right now?
I think they are. Listen, you have the championship hangover. I understand, but their quarter, like, they always want to run the ball. It's Michigan. You have to put up more than 121 passing yards, though, against Texas. Like, that, whatever happened against Fresno, averaging 5 yards a pass, that's not going to fly. And the run game wasn't working that well either.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
the
bathroom?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.